Welcome back, everyone. Apologies, we weren't here last week. Now, we did say on the Instagram story, so follow us there if you do want constant updates, because that is where you are going to get updated about everything. Matt had a really important medical examination. It's something to do with the prostate. He said it went really well, really well. He's going back next week for another one. But if you are listening to us, thank you very much. Make sure you give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform you're listening on. It does make a big difference. It really helps the podcast out. It's why it's taken us to number one in the fantasy sports podcast in Russia. So, yeah, we are officially a number one podcast. Might have said that the time before, but we're just so excited about it. If you're watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're going to do any one of those three, make sure you comment, get involved, because we say some pretty stupid stuff. So tell us when we're being idiots. We're going to crack on with the podcast now. We have got to speak about Canada briefly. It was terribly boring, so we will probably just skim over it. And we're going to look ahead to the Austrian Grand Prix, which is a sprint weekend. So we have a lot of racing action to look forward to. The Friday is jam-packed, the Saturday is jam-packed, and then we've got the race on Sunday. Let's crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And yeah, Luke, thank you for that intro. I actually didn't have an examination, but anyway, we move on. Before we get started, because a couple of people have mentioned that I don't ask how you are and how your weekends are. So how's your weekend and how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Weekend was, I didn't drink this weekend. Well, I didn't get drunk this weekend.
Oh, but you did have a drink.
Yeah, only, to be honest, like 2 bottles of beer, which doesn't really count. It was pretty good. Oh, there was some like car festival in Seaford, like down Seaford Beach or whatever, yesterday. Yeah, it was.
Did you go?
Yeah, well, I stumbled across it. I was doing a little walk across the cliffs.
Nice.
And then my friend was like, "Should we get a drink at the golf club?" And I was like, "Hang the fuck on! What's going on down there? That looks lively. Live music, loads of motors, a bar. Importantly."
F1 cars?
No, honestly, it was pretty shit. It was like just souped up like Fiestas and whatnot. Didn't look at the cars, just beeline to the bar, got a drink and sat down. But it was a nice sunny weekend. And to be honest, it was kind of refreshing having a hangover-free weekend. What about you? What did you do?
What did I do?
Other than recovering from, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. What did I do? I had a family barbecue on Friday.
Did you say?
No, didn't say that. Had a family barbecue on Saturday. Got family over from Australia at the moment, so they're over. It was my birthday yesterday. Thank you for the text.
No, it wasn't.
It was my birthday yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
It was my actual birthday yesterday.
Why is there nothing on Instagram?
Why do I need to? I don't need to shout about it anymore, do I? I'm getting older. I don't need to shout about it's my birthday.
I just don't. Have you got ID on you?
Have I got ID on me? I haven't got ID on me, but it was my birthday yesterday.
Boy, it could have been my birthday yesterday. I could say that.
I swear down to you, 25th of June.
I want to see ID.
I haven't got ID on me.
I just don't believe you.
What? The fact that you're such a shit friend, you didn't even say happy birthday to me.
I can guarantee, right? And this goes for everyone watching, right? 95% of your friends, people that you know. I don't have Facebook, right? So I don't get that it's so-and-so's birthday today.
Yeah.
Let's say you didn't have Facebook and they didn't post that it was their birthday on any form of social media.
Yeah.
You would not know it was 95% of your friends' birthdays.
Oh, got it in the calendar.
Fact.
Got it in the calendar.
Do you?
No, I don't. No.
That is true though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, to be honest, the only birthdays I genuinely know are like, well, mine. my parents, my brothers.
Yeah.
My nan's, because it's the same as my brother's. Convenient. And Ruth's.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. You spend more of the time noticing when it pops up on, like...
Yeah, I mean, if I see, like... I wish everyone happy birthday, like, if it pops up. Like, even if someone...
You don't.
It didn't pop up on Instagram. If it's someone that, like...
Last year, I did a post for your birthday. I actually paid for a design for your birthday for Racecast to wish you happy birthday.
My birthday, right, is the same day as the Queen, dead now. But that is very memorable.
Yeah, I don't know when the Queen was born, man.
Ruth, same day as Hitler.
Is it?
Epitomises our relationship, doesn't it? The Queen and Hitler. But Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Was it 40?
49.
Yeah, you look it.
Yeah.
You do look it.
No, not 49.
What did you do?
Saw friends in the morning, had a little surprise breakfast. So like people like Scott, Caleb and everyone. Jamie
boozy,
couldn't make it.
Boozy breakfast?
No, I don't drink. Then I went to the Ivy in the evening for dinner.
Rich. I told you he had money.
It's all from this podcast.
Yeah, it is. To be fair, we'll confess the earnings across, like, starting this podcast, because it's got to the point where we need to withdraw the money. Or it's got to the point where we can withdraw the money. You have to hit a certain number for them to allow you to withdraw money. Right. £76 we've made.
Banging.
So it's not a bad hourly rate. It's not.
What, across all the episodes we've done? I think it's a pretty shit hourly rate.
It's not great, but you've got to start somewhere. But basically, just for those of you looking to get into the YouTube hustle, which, to be fair, this is not really a hustle. This is
just fun.
Something we do for fun.
Yeah.
But for those of you that are genuinely looking into it, yeah, if you're not striking it big, you are in the mud. You need a job, basically.
It's funny, yesterday I was talking to... So my godson, right, he's on TikTok. He does like FIFA videos and he just puts them on TikTok. He gets like 100,000 views and he's been doing it for a few years now. Okay, he's like 14 now. The other day he got a check on TikTok for like 150 quid.
Oh, TikTok. TikTok takes the piss,
yeah,
with how much they pay. It's purely brand deals. That's the only way you're going to make money.
So he got a check for 150 quid and he was like buzzing. He was like,
yeah, this is great. But 14, yeah, and you get that check.
That's incredible.
That's sick.
But we're talking about when, you know, we used to do YouTube back in 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, when I was doing like football challenges, whatever, I had a video which reached 1.5 million. And for me, that was massive, you know.
I mean, to be fair, for anyone, that's a big video, like 1.5 mil.
But, you know, and then all of a sudden you're getting videos which are like 30K, 50K, 100K, all of that stuff. And you made a decent amount of money because on your ads. And then all of a sudden, overnight, they just changed it. You know, you had to get the bell notification so we get notified when you upload. Yeah, and then all of a sudden the ads. And I mean, if you're big in YouTube, you make good money.
They also changed,
it's very hard.
They changed the algorithm as well massively. So like it used to be a lot easier to hit algo and then it got really difficult. But like you think like if you're getting banging out 30K views a week, that is sustainable if you're on like $10, $15 CPM.
Yeah.
But like I know that's quite high CPM, but like if it's like PG friendly content and...
But it's hard, isn't it? Now it's hard. You know, everyone wants to do YouTube.
Yeah, so, and especially, like, I mean, people would talk about the waffling stuff. Like, if we didn't have the ads within waffling, not YouTube ads, but, like, brand deals.
Yeah.
That, like, if it would have been, like, such a bad paying job for three men.
Mm.
And I mean, like, you wouldn't be able to live on it at all. It's like, it was barely even pocket money.
Yeah.
So a lot of these places do rely on external income because these platforms do just, they rinse it.
It's hard now. It's hard. And, you know, it was such a niche thing back, you know, even 5, 6, 7 years ago. And now it's like everyone wants to do it. You speak to people and like, what do you want to do? I want to do YouTube or I want to do TikTok or, you know, and it's like TikTok.
TikTok's a weird one.
It's a weird one. You can't really make good money on that. Again, that all goes down to ads. Everything is basically ads nowadays. But I don't know how we got onto that. If you started YouTube, let us know. How'd you crack on? But yeah, we do this for fun. And we are going to have a boozy night out with that 76 quid, aren't we?
Well, Dan is.
Yeah, Dan, yeah.
It's actually... Surprise! once we eventually are able to get hold of the money. Due to tax issues currently at the moment...
Which is why we're at 76 quid.
Yeah, we can't pull it out at the moment because there are tax complications.
Anyway,
onto the fun stuff.
I hope you guys are good. Let's get into F1. So Alpine secure 200 million euros back in from investors, including Hollywood actor Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, this is big. This is massive.
This is, but I'm not being funny. Right. Brand like Alpine, they've got huge sponsors on board.
Yeah.
There's a cost cap. Like, I know you can invest outside to like upgrade facilities, and I assume that's what they're going to do for like the long term plan of the team. It is good, but it's not like, I don't think it's as exciting as it might have once been with no cost cap. It's like, fuck, 200 million injection. Right, let's develop the fuck out of the car. It's now just like, okay, well, that's, we're not going to see this instantly. It's going to be like a long term thing. But it's cool. I mean, Ryan Reynolds, like, is a very likable guy.
Yeah.
So having, you know, people like him in the sport, I think is cool. And it's good for the exposure of the sport as well.
It's just another avenue, isn't it? Especially when you look at the growth in America as well. Having that type of celebrity linked to an F1 team just gives it more exposure. It's interesting. So the investor group formed of Otro Capital, Redbird Capital Partners and Maximum Effort Investments have acquired a 24% stake in the F1 team, placing their value, say Alpine, at around 900 million. So the group have worked with NFL side Dallas Cowboys, French football club Toulouse and English football team Wrexham. I read something earlier, actually, that their plan is to get this car to a championship winning team within 100 races.
Yeah, well,
did you read that?
I haven't read that specifically, but I've obviously heard Otmar saying like something like it's a 5-year plan or a 6-year plan.
Yeah.
Whether he gets that much time, Formula One, like any other sport, it's all well and good having these long-term projects, but 99% of them never come to fruition because the people in charge are not given the time to actually, and whether those decisions to get rid of them and actually focus on another project or, you know, focus on a different avenue is right or wrong, I guess we'll never truly know. But I think Alpine are on the right path. I think we've seen that over the last few races that the team is getting pushed in the right direction for sure. The car looks like it's getting stronger.
Yeah.
And we've spoken highly about Otmar before. We think Alpine also have a very good driver pairing.
As you said, that driver pairing is a very strong lineup. You know, that French pairing is, you've got Ocon, who just seems to be getting better and better. He's shown that, you know, he's already won a race. He got podium this year at Monaco. He's very consistent. You've got Pierre Gasly, who's been a bit unlucky this year with certain aspects.
I was going to say, I think Gasly's been really good this year,
yeah,
but he's been quite unlucky.
Yeah, but I think that will come in time. So I'm really excited about this partnership, and we discussed that at the beginning of the season. And I think for Alpine, they're definitely on the right move. And I think they're actually better off with this pairing than they were last year with Ocon and Alonso.
Well, yeah, there was friction there, wasn't there? And that's not to shit on Alonso at all, because obviously Alonso's gone to Aston Martin and it's been an incredible move for both players. I agree that in this specific scenario, I think it is just working better.
Yeah, no, definitely.
For the team. Because even though there was that like alleged beef between Ocon and Gasly before Gasly moved there, the whole team does seem to be working pretty well.
Talking of Fernando Alonso, before I continue, let us know what your thoughts are. Is this good for the sport? You know, having this type of investment obviously is great for Alpine, but does it make the sport more of a mockery by having a celebrity having part ownership of a team? Or do you think it's a great idea? Let us know. Personally, I think it's actually very good for Alpine. I think it gives more exposure to F1. I think you just look at alone of what, especially Ryan Reynolds has done for football, non-league football. If you can bring more exposure to the sport in America, and it is getting bigger, you know, we've got an extra race this year in Las Vegas.
Also, don't forget, right, the sponsorship that people like him bring. Wrexham are sponsored by United Airlines.
Yeah, that's like, pretty mad.
That's ridiculous. Wrexham are a League Two football club.
Yeah.
And they're sponsored by one of the biggest airlines in the world. Like, they'll be playing against teams that are sponsored by, like, Ray's paint shop or something. Do you know what I mean? Like the local shop.
Football Manager.
It's just, I mean, Football Manager's a pretty good sponsor.
No, but you've got a lot of teams in the lower leagues who are sponsored by Football Manager.
That's yeah. But like, do you see what I mean by like the contrasting thing of like a lot of those are just going to have local sponsors, you know. And then you've got Wrexham Wrexham Town, who are sponsored by United Airlines. I find it crazy. And that is something that Alpine have probably looked at and thought, actually, there's a chance to get some like good sponsors on board here.
Yeah. Fernando Alonso, he must be, you know, I don't understand him at the moment because he's heaped a lot of praise on his current Aston Martin teammate Lance Stroll, saying at times he's had outstanding performances.
He's got a clause in his contract. Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely doing something. And he said it's just a matter of time until he starts joining me on the podium.
Listen to me, right? This is insider information. Fernando Alonso has a clause in his contract where every good sentence, every nice little thing he says about Lance Stroll, he gets a little bonus.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of it. Just a nice little 10, 20K slipped in the back pocket. Because this is just not true. He's not, like, whether it is to do with his hand injury or something, if he's still suffering there, fair enough. Like, we don't know, you know, how Lance is feeling. But he's not been good. He's not been good enough. He is letting the team down. It is punishing them in the Constructors' Championship. And they are going to have to do something about it if they want to be taken seriously as a constructor. That is just simply that. You can't be spewing bullshit like that. It's just not true.
Yeah. Well, he said, I think Lance is showing the speed in the car. Rubbish.
What's
the commitment? We saw at the beginning of the year as well, racing with a broken hand and things like that. You only see when you really have the passion for something that you are doing.
But by commitment, does he mean what he turns up every week like everyone else does?
Yeah. He said, I think we saw many times in the past sparks of Lance in wet qualifying and races at the start, lap one performances, these kind of things that are outstanding. He's definitely being paid extra to say these nice things.
Someone needs to check on Fernando Alonso. Like, I feel like he's got a gun to his head here. It's just, first and foremost, right, it's not Fernando Alonso. That is just not how he speaks. Secondly, it's just not true. Like, it's just not.
You've seen a whole different side. You look back at Canada, and we'll touch on Canada in a minute. Do we have to talk about Canada? Because such a boring race.
We'll briefly talk about Canada.
How he was with Lewis and how jolly he was. And nice to see. It's a great thing to see.
I do think at the same time, right, Fernando has definitely got his joy back for the sport. You've got to remember, right? Just going to take a sip of water. Fernando Alonso, you know, even I know he was competing back in the Ferrari days. And now he's probably able to appreciate being in a car that is not quite the fastest, but he knows that it's very much got the potential to be as fast as the fastest.
Yep.
But other than that, he's not had that since his Renault. You know, and okay, yep, he had it when he went to McLaren, but then he had to deal with Lewis, and that was just a nightmare. And I think now it's at a point where, okay, he's gone through this really rotten career. Not rotten career, I don't mean that. I mean like rotten luck with like all these shite cars and... Whether people think he's brought a lot of that upon himself or not is a different story.
That second stint in that McLaren, that was woeful.
It wasn't great, was it?
It was awful.
Wouldn't he call it like a GP2 car or something? But he's now like at a point where he's early 40s, so he's in a different headspace. He's a different person now, more mature.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably at a point where he's like, oh my God, like all these years of absolute fuckery, and it's just like finally, I'm back in a team that has a direction, it has a good car, and I'm the star man again.
And I'm on podiums, you know.
Exactly. That's the thing. So I think that's why we're seeing him a bit happier and cheerier.
No, I agree. And it's nice to see. I like that podium in Canada. If we have that throughout the season, I think it could be a good battle.
Yeah, if we have that podium, I don't care if we have that podium every single race week. I just don't want to know what order it's in.
No.
Unless it's Lewis P1.
Let's quickly touch on Canada. We'll wrap this up relatively quick because we did a live stream actually, and
it was hard. It was hard.
Funny enough, the live stream, the biggest highlight of that race was talking about you having an injection. You asked for your hay fever injection.
Yeah. Which I am, by the way, I'm completely cured. So if anyone is still suffering from hay fever, go to your local beauty aesthetics shop and get a Kenalog jab in your ass, because I genuinely, until I was speaking to a friend yesterday or the day before, and I could hear him sniveling and like getting frustrated, and I was like, is your hay fever bad? He's like, yeah. I was like, I genuinely forgot it existed.
It's a good day.
And I was dying.
Yeah, you were in a bad way.
But yeah, that was a tough live stream. Because that race was boring.
Let's just go straight to the race. I mean, Max won comfortably. Wasn't really challenged at all. You had a bit of a battle between Fernando and Lewis. Lewis had a good start. Overtook Fernando into turn one. But Alonso, he looked comfortable for that P2. He closed him in nicely. That was fine. George Russell made a mistake, which is quite rare for George. Went into the wall, really screwed his race. But, you know, to be fair,
just normally he's hitting another car rather than a wall.
Well, that's very true. He ended up retiring from that. Ferraris, we thought they were going to have a shock of a strategy after the safety car for George. We were expecting them to have a... another awful day at the office, but somehow they actually finished P4 and 5, so I don't quite know how they did that. But
they absolutely pulled it out of the bag, so fair play, Ferrari. We will credit you here.
Yeah, very much so. It worked a treat. Perez, again, a very underperforming performance from him.
Underperforming performance.
It made sense in my head.
Underwhelming?
That's the one I'm looking for. Yeah. Finishing P6. It still doesn't make any sense to me that this, you know, Red Bull is exactly the same as Max Verstappen's, and
he's just slow. He just, like, let's cut the bullshit, right? We're not here to consider drivers' feelings. You know, we're not gonna insult them personally. But objectively, we can look at this and be like, he's slow.
Very slow.
That's just, and that is just the way it is. The results don't lie. The timing board does not lie. He couldn't close in on the Ferraris.
He ended up 51 seconds behind his teammates.
Yeah, it's bad. And might have it on my phone. Oh, cheer my belly. Helmut Marko was talking about Daniel Ricciardo's future.
Yeah.
Now he said, Red Bull are to evaluate Ricciardo in the test, because there's a Pirelli tyre test coming up next week, week after, very soon. Daniel Ricciardo's doing it. I believe it's 3 days. Perez is safe, in inverted commas, but Red Bull keep options open for 2024. Doesn't sound very safe to me.
No. He won't be in a Red Bull seat next year.
And just to confirm, I also don't believe Daniel Ricciardo will be the man to replace him. That just doesn't make sense, in my opinion.
I'm still convinced Danny Ric will be in the AlphaTauri seat. Yeah. Nyck de Vries will be gone. Danny Ric will take that seat. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, we spoke about that last time, and that does make more sense. But it is getting to... Well, we're going to be approaching silly season soon.
But it also doesn't make sense. It would never make sense, in my eyes, that you go... You've got Danny Ric, who was woeful in that McLaren, okay? He went to Renault, he was all right. Went to McLaren, shocking. Was meant to be the star man, go there, you know, absolutely humiliate Lando Norris. Didn't happen. End up being shocking. They terminate his contract early. It doesn't make any sense to go and, oh, do you know what? You deserve to be in the top car. No, yeah. It doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Because he just doesn't. And as much as we all like Danny Ric, it just shouldn't happen.
No. Just going back to the race, massive shout out to Alex Albon.
Yeah.
P7.
Quality result.
He deserves another opportunity.
Agreed.
He deserves another opportunity in a big team.
Get him back to Red Bull. Or
Ferrari.
Yeah, because another little story that popped up,
which is quite weird. I've never actually thought of that.
Sainz wants Ferrari contract guarantees. And what this quote is...
Of course he does. He knows he's at risk.
If that's not possible, I'll be forced to look elsewhere. Well, I think Ferrari will happily let him look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe they're going to eye up someone like Alex Albon. Maybe a Lando Norris.
Alex Albon could make sense. I don't know. I've never actually thought of that from that point of view, because I've always linked him to Red Bull. But that could make sense.
He's not part of the Red Bull family anymore.
No. going back to Carlos Sainz.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, I watched a Drive to Survive. I can't remember what it is, when he was in McLaren. And do you remember when they discussed saying, you know, they didn't even know whether a seat in McLaren was safe at the time? He's done very well to get to Ferrari. Obviously, he had a very strong season. He went to Ferrari.
Yeah, and then he had a great first season at Ferrari.
Had a great first season, but again, Charles Leclerc underperformed.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all know Leclerc is a better driver.
Yeah.
If you're a team principal and you've got a choice, okay, we've got one seat free. Do you want Charles Leclerc or Carlos Sainz? Well, that's an easy choice.
I actually think Carlos Sainz's seat is also at risk. I don't know why. I just...
Well, yeah, that's what we're saying.
No, I know that, but
Carlos Sainz?
Yeah.
You think his seat is at risk?
Yeah.
Is that not what this whole conversation has been about?
If you let me finish my... I think, obviously, Carlos Sainz's seat is at risk because I don't think he's performing well.
Absolutely plucked that one out of thin air.
But no, I can't see him at Ferrari next year. I can't see Perez at Red Bull. I can't see Sainz at Ferrari. And I can't see Danny Ric at Red Bull.
And if we were being...
Well, a third driver. But
if we were being unrealistic, I also... can't see Lance Stroll at Aston Martin, but I know for a fact he absolutely will be at Aston Martin.
Yeah.
But if they were looking at that objectively and not from Daddy Stroll's perspective, he'd be gone.
If you're Lawrence Stroll, what makes perfect sense, right? You're kind of go, right, baby boy, I got to get rid of you, all right? Charles Leclerc. Orlando Norris, come to Aston Martin.
Yeah, obviously that makes more sense.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That makes Aston Martin a serious, serious team.
Like, I agree.
Serious. They're never going to be... You think Mercedes, like, are going to worry about Lance Stroll? Do you think Red Bull... You think Max Verstappen's sitting there thinking, oh my God, I've got Lance Stroll and an Aston Martin, which is pretty quick. He does not care. He'll be thinking about Fernando.
Yeah.
He'll know that he'll have to watch out for him. I know he's probably not worrying about him, not at this point in time, because the Red Bull is still a lot quicker. But he will have Fernando in the back of his head. And he should also have Lance there.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because they're in the same car.
After the Canadian Grand Prix, I read an article about George Russell, and I want to get your view on it. It basically said, with his mistake and how he's been... Did Mercedes make a mistake getting George Russell? And the article basically went on and said, obviously he had a very strong season last year. The car was obviously in very development. You had Lewis Hamilton, who took a lot of that development, which hindered his performance, which whether that's true or not, we don't know, but that's what we've heard. What you're showing this year is Lewis is now getting back to Lewis.
Yeah.
He's finding confidence in his car. George seems to be struggling. Well, not necessarily struggling, but he's not.
Yeah,
well, he's making all the errors. I don't personally agree with it. I think it is what it is. He's still very new into his team. But I want to get what your thoughts are.
The thing is, right, we come into like this season, and are we genuinely expecting George Russell to beat Lewis Hamilton? Like, actually think about it. What? Because he had a better season last season. Okay, well, Jenson Button outscored Lewis Hamilton. Who would you have picked? Like, still Lewis Hamilton at the time, and obviously you wouldn't pick Jenson Button now. But like, it was still evident then. Lewis Hamilton was a better driver. It's still evident now. Look, you know, go back a few seasons ago, Carlos Sainz outscored Charles Leclerc. Okay, I know who I still want in my team.
Yeah.
So. I do find it mental that people put so much on last season. Oh my God, George outscored Lewis. Oh, like, actually, who cares, right? The car was a piece of shit. It was for, like, what, fifth place or fourth place or something? Genuinely, anyone coming into this season expecting George to outscore Lewis is a crackhead.
No, I agree. Well, maybe not a crackhead, but I agree with you in that sense.
They've got to be on something.
But what was interesting from that is obviously... Lewis on his points, and he is on 102 points now. George is currently down in sixth with 65 points behind Carlos Sainz in that Ferrari. what they're saying is that would you expect him to be performing better and matching Lewis in the sense of points wise? So there was a lot of arguments of, you know,
I genuinely don't think George has had a bad.
No.
And you got to remember that Ferrari, like, didn't start off as it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
It's also very quick over one lap. We've seen that. So
and Mercedes weren't great at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, Mercedes obviously have made a radical change to their concept. So, did you see the lie detector with George Russell?
Yeah.
So he thinks he's faster than Lewis. Which, yeah. Let me just make this clear. Any driver that sat there and said no,
you're a liar.
Well, no, but like, okay, if you're wearing this and you're asked, are you faster than so-and-so? Mm. You're obviously going to say yes. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, you have to genuinely believe in yourself 100%. Mm.
It's like when we get asked, who's the better, you know, host of Racecast?
Yeah, we'll let you vote down below.
Oh, fuck, no.
But he's not faster than Lewis.
No.
And that's completely fine. Lewis is a 7-time world champion. Like, George is still... Okay, he's not a rookie. He's been in the sport for a while, but he's still a young man that is finally racing in a quick car.
Do you think, and he got asked this question, do you honestly think he'll be a world champion? I don't. I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I just can't see it.
I think if Mercedes... He needs the car. But if you're asking me, right, let's say... Let's say Mercedes are able to match Red Bull, yep. Right? And we've got two cars, identical pace across the year. You know, you have the odd strong track for each car. Lewis has retired. He's won number 8, probably number 9 or 10
yep.
by this point. And now it's George. George is the number 1 driver. And obviously they still got Max because he's very young. My money is on Max all day, every day.
100%.
I stand by it. The only person... that I would put my money on over Max is Lewis. And I still don't think that's a safe bet. I think they're the only... Max and Lewis are the two drivers that are head and shoulders above everyone else in that grid.
And a close third would be Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
And I generally think if Fernando was in the same car as Max and they were challenging, Fernando, that would be an interesting battle. But I'd still put my money on Max to win.
I think Max would win the championship overall, but I think you'd get a lot more... It would be a lot more like a Lewis and Rosberg situation. Yeah,
yeah. I just feel George at this moment in time, he looks like a guy who's under pressure.
See, I disagree.
Do you think?
I feel like he's a guy that is struggling to adapt to the new concept of the car. I don't believe he's under pressure because I genuinely don't believe he's underperforming. If there was ever, like I say, if there was ever this level of expectation that he should be coming in and beating Lewis Hamilton, you're a crackhead.
Mm.
Because how can that be?
But like you say, as an F1 driver, you automatically think you're better than anyone else on that grid.
He might be applying pressure to himself.
That's what I mean. But when you're listening to the radio messages, he looks like, when you compare it to last year, for example, some of the messages seem a bit more desperate this year.
Yeah.
Compared to what we saw.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I do think that's because last year it's easy. Oh, I'm out in front. I'm ahead of Lewis.
It's his first season. He had no pressure.
Yeah, and now maybe he's set like the precedent exactly, to himself yeah. of, oh, I finished in front of Lewis. So, like, I'm young. He's aging. Well, if I fall behind him, then I must be declining.
Hmm.
Whereas it's just not the case. Like, I think you need to look at it from a sensible point of view and be like, I'm actually racing Lewis Hamilton here. Like, chances are I'm not going to win.
No. But I think that's the thing, isn't it? Obviously, last year he had his win at Brazil. He did perform well. He went the first, like, what, 9 races or something in the top 5. So he set those standards. So coming into this year, Lewis has now picked it up. He's now more comfortable with the car. And now he's starting to see. Because when you beat someone... In your first season in a new team, you kind of go, all right, yeah, fine. Like Carlos Sainz when he went to Ferrari, he's yeah. like, okay, yeah, fine, all right, this is, this is how it's going to go. Then all of a sudden you go into next season and your teammate's like, Only joking. Last year, I thought I'd let you just have a head start, but I'm back. You know, you start to go, shit, okay, maybe I'm not as good as what I was last year. Or
yeah, which, you know, he is going to have that, like, self-doubt. But, you know, I from a completely neutral perspective, George is not having a bad season at all. He made a mistake at Canada, and it was costly to both the constructors and...
It's a very rookie mistake, though, wasn't it?
It was. I think he was just pushing hard. He could probably see that there was a little gap forming. And that, it just is what it is.
I say rookie in a very loose term, in the sense of, you know, these are F1 drivers. Any of these mistakes can happen. You've seen Lewis make mistakes. You've seen Max when he was qualifying, he went into the wall in Jeddah.
Yeah.
They make mistakes.
He just took too much speed through the corner. It was, and again, it's that probably that maturity thing of like, okay, well, like,
play the long game.
Yeah. Do I push really hard now and risk a crash? Okay. Are we seeing how that happened? Or, you know, secure fourth. Like, realistically, I can't compete with the Red Bull. I can't compete with the Aston Martin. And it's evident right now that Lewis is pulling away from me. Let's just race and bring this home.
Yeah. Because that's where you see the maturity of the Alonso's, the Max's.
Yeah.
But that will just come in time. And I think not necessarily that he has that pressure, but it's probably the pressure he puts on himself.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting article. I didn't obviously agree with it, but I think it's, if Lewis continues to outperform him, he's going to start putting that extra pressure on. And it's not easy going into a team like that. So on a whole, Canada was boring. Didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, we could have summed up Canada in that single sentence. Canada was shit.
Yeah. But get ready for another shit race this weekend, because we're heading to Austria, and I guarantee you Red Bull will win it.
Yeah, Max is pretty strong at this track.
I love the track.
Track's quality.
I love it.
You know what, though, right? High-speed corners.
Mm.
That is Mercedes' strong point.
Yeah.
Okay. The Red Bull doesn't have a weakness. I don't know what the fuck they were chatting, talking about, Canada's not really suited to our car. And then everyone was like, I saw stuff on Twitter like, oh my God, this is mad. Alonso's matching Max. In what world? Brother was 10 seconds ahead. Like,
Max was just cruising.
I was losing my head reading some of the tweets. Because I was like, there's not a race here.
No.
There's just not. And if Max is actually being raced, you best believe he's going to be cutting half a second off his lap time. So, yeah, the Red Bull doesn't have a weakness, but the other teams do have strengths.
Yeah.
So I personally think we are going to see an impressive Mercedes performance this weekend, because it is the slow speed corners where they lack, because they haven't got the rear end. They're not able to get the traction out of the corners that they need. I think the Aston Martin is going to be good, because they're going to have a better understanding of these upgrades due to the race. We obviously had some wet sessions through the practice sessions and whatnot, so it was hard for them to collect data on all these new upgrades. I'll tell you what, though, I do think the Mercedes is going to be better than the Aston Martin this weekend.
Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, due to the nature of this car, the track is just... Think, how many slow corners actually are there here? You've got turn one, which is slow.
Turn two.
Turn two is very quick. Turn two is that little kink on the straight.
Okay, turn three, I'm talking about, so up the top of the hill.
Turn three, that's a slow one. That's quite an important one. You need the traction out of there to...
If you get that wrong, that screws you down to that straight, yeah.
Then down the bottom, it's not a really slow corner as you come to the straight. It's sort of like a medium speed. I know it's like a hairpin, but it's quite wide and you still hold a bit of throttle around it. Then it's some very quick corners all the way to the end, pretty much, until you're back around to turn one.
What do you think? I don't bet, but what do you think the chances are of Sergio Perez going into the gravel again? He's done that the last 2 years.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, because he got... what year was it? It was 2021, where didn't he rack up like 2 5-second penalties?
Yeah, one of them was with Leclerc, I think. He's had one with George.
One was with Lando. So yeah. Lando pushed him wide.
Yeah.
And then Lando got a 5 second penalty. Then I'm pretty sure Perez got him back and pushed him wide. And then Perez got a five second penalty. And then Perez pushed Leclerc wide as you come, I don't know what turn it is, probably like turn 6 or something.
Yeah.
And he got a 5 second penalty there.
Because obviously this was last year where Carlos Sainz was having a solid race and then he had an engine blowout, didn't he?
Yeah, is it where his engine set on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the car just rolling back.
Yeah, it was quite a scary moment watching that.
We were like, where's the stewards?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? He's just sitting there in a burning car.
And then they are just waiting for confirmation they can go.
That was a mental situation. But yeah, the Perez thing, because when I make these predictions, right, I'm really competitive. Like, I really want to get them right.
Yeah.
So I always find the Perez thing hard because it's like, well, he's in a rocket ship. It's like, you know, 9 times out of 10, if we say we did it through like the Lewis Bottas era, Bottas would be in your top 3.
Yeah, every time.
But now it's like Perez. I'm just like,
you can't rely on him.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't want to put him in it because I think he's probably going to let me down and then I'm going to be angry that I've got him wrong. So I'm going to go with what seems to be our new top 3. If I had to...
Whoa. Oh. I haven't asked you the question yet.
Oh, my God, I'm jumping the gun. All right, I just got excited. Perez will not be in the top three.
Luke, who's your top three for this weekend's Austrian Grand Prix?
Perez will not be in the top three.
Okay, but who's your top three for this weekend?
Max, Lewis, Alonso.
Okay, I'm going to go...
I think George will be in the mix as well. I think that P3 could be George.
I'm going to go Max, Lewis, Alonso.
It's the same as me.
No, you went Alonso second.
No.
Didn't you?
Nope.
Oh, I'm going to change it then. Alonso second, Lewis third.
Why wouldn't you just go with what you think?
I actually thought you said the other way. Sorry, I didn't listen.
Because I think that Mercedes is going to perform a touch better. Than the Aston Martin round here. It's just my thoughts. I mean, you know, we did, like I said, we didn't really get to see these Aston Martin upgrades.
Yeah,
they could perform unbelievably here, but just based on what we have seen, I do think this track is a little bit more suited to the Mercedes.
Be interesting to see, but Max will just walk away with it.
Oh, Max will be gone.
Do you know what really triggered me in that 21 season, that we had back to back Austrian Grand Prix. You had Max literally dominate week one,
so
and
boring.
Then you knew that you were going into week two and it was just going to be another easy win.
That was so boring.
Oh,
that was the worst like doubleheader race weekend.
Freaking hated that.
Ever had.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Not just because Max won, like if we got a race,
it'd be fine. It was just fine. Boring. Right, do you want to know the schedule?
Yeah, so sprint weekend, boys and girls, remember
sprint
that.
Weekend. So, practice one is on Friday, 12:30 to 1:30.
Lovely.
Qualifying is 4 till 5 on Friday.
Very nice.
The sprint shootout is 11.
Do you know what I fucking hate? They call it a sprint shootout. It's so American.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say. Oh, penalty shootout. It's different. Sprint shootout. It's just... that is plucked right out of some little American mind.
The sprint shootout is 11 to 11:44 on Saturday.
What?
That's what it says here.
11 to 11:44.
That's what it says here. Don't believe me? 11:44.
Like, just put 11 till 12. I don't care if it finishes 16 minutes early.
The sprint race is 3:30 till 4.
Yeah.
And the race on Sunday is 2 o'clock.
Typical.
I mean, yeah, it's all right.
It'd be nice to have some sport over the weekend.
Yep. Do you want to do a little quiz?
Yeah.
So, when was the first Grand Prix held?
19... 87.
1970.
Oh.
How many number of laps? How many number of laps?
How many laps?
Yep.
Ooh. 71.
Spot on. Well done. Lap record and held by who?
Oh, it's got to be Max in 2021.
Nope, it was in 2020 and it was Carlos Sainz, but...
What the hell?
What was the lap record?
Oh, okay. 71 laps. We're going to be in the 110s.
Okay.
Lap record of 116.5.
105.6.
Oh my god, it's as quick as that. I know it's a really quick track and it's not particularly long.
And DRS zones.
But that's like a quicker lap than Brazil, no?
It is. DRS zones.
Oh, one, two. Oh, three.
There is three. There is three DRS zones. Obviously, last year, who was a winner last year?
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about this earlier before you came on the podcast. Yeah. I was like, I have no recollection of that race at all. I mean, I'm going to say Max.
It was a Charles Leclerc win.
But I was going to say, if it's not Max, it's Charles.
Yeah, Charles Leclerc. This was where Mick Schumacher picked up his first points last year. He finished P6.
Where did the Mercedes finish?
Lewis was P3. George was P4.
Nice. So, do you see... Right, just going back to my Mercedes point, do you see what I mean by... They've been strong at these sorts of tracks.
Yeah.
Like, even with the last car. And we saw that that's now enhanced through Spain.
Mm.
The sort of quick corners.
Yeah.
Which is why I think we're going to see a good Mercedes here.
Because, obviously, the sprint race last year was also there, and that's where Max won.
Yeah.
And Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel didn't finish that sprint race. But there was a bit of a collision, I think, at the beginning, wasn't there?
It's always chaos down into turn one. That turn one is nasty.
Yeah.
Because you've got that horrible little sausage curve, the little yellow curve, that can do quite a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And because the corner sort of like, it kind of turns back on itself a little bit because you sort of come in... And then you come out, which is then turn two, all the way up to that even worse turn three,
yeah,
which is a nightmare as well. So yeah, opening laps should be interesting. If someone can please just do a solid, take one for the team, absolutely wipe Max out.
Obviously,
we need it.
This was the year where Lewis went off in qualifying into the barrier, then which caused a red flag. Then literally a lap later, George Russell went off.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember now. I remember quali, yeah.
Obviously, Sainz and Perez
didn't.
They were
quick, weren't they? I remember.
They were. But yeah, Perez, Sainz didn't. Funny enough, Latifi didn't finish the race either.
Did he finish many?
No, he didn't. But let us know. What is your top three for this weekend's Austrian Grand Prix? I'm hoping it's a good race. I know we're going to see Max just run away with it.
We will have such a good race. If Max can have a blowout, engine failure, crashes into a wall, anything non-serious that just...
Yeah, I don't want anything serious to happen.
Something that just means he can't finish the race.
Yeah, I don't want anything bad to happen to him.
Yeah, anyway, give it a few more races and then...
Nah, nobody wants to see...
The mind wanders, doesn't it?
Nobody wants to see that. What else is there to talk about? We covered everything.
Pretty much, I think, you know, looking ahead, we know for a fact that Mercedes have got big upgrades coming to Silverstone. It's a new floor and I believe revised side pods as well.
I'm looking forward to Silverstone.
Yeah, you know what? I actually looked at getting a ticket the other day. Just one ticket. Ticket one, please. It was 150 quid and I was like...
That's not that bad, actually.
Sorry, so two tickets, 150 each. And I was like, maybe I'll just buy them. Like, someone will buy one off me. Like, whether it's you, I got other people that like F1. And then, like, I went to the purchase screen. And then, like, it had concessions. Like, child's ticket. I was like, why do they not make that, like, in bold letters?
Why does a child kind of go on their own anyway?
Well, yeah, firstly, yeah, that should only be allowed with an adult. But it should be in big letters. I shouldn't have to get to the purchase page.
My dad, I'm going
page.
On my own. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to get to the purchase page for it to tell me that. And then I was like, an adult ticket? Oh, £240. No. Because this is just for the day, just for the race. I was like, nah, I can't be asked. But if anyone... If you don't want to go, you can't go for whatever reason, get in touch. Sling £100 for a ticket. Well, ideally you've got more than one, because I don't want to go on my own. But I'd love to go. Because especially after Glastonbury this weekend, where I was just in regret hell. I was like, why did I not?
You went last year, didn't you?
Yeah. And the reason I didn't go is this year is because I was like, oh, I've got Australia, Bali. That's going to absolutely obliterate, like, the bank account. Mm. It did. But then it got to the time and I was like, I should have just bought a ticket. I'd be much happier right now.
It looks mental. It's what so I watched good. This weekend.
It's so good.
Yeah, no. But yeah, let us know. Are you going to any races this year? Did you go to Glastonbury? Luke didn't. He's upset. But yeah, we'll be back next week for a brand new episode, hoping we have a good race. All I want is a good race. Like, I don't mind who wins. I just want a good race. You know, after Canada, I had hopes, high hopes. It didn't work. It was boring. But I'm hoping for a good race this weekend. That's what I want. And please, all I see is tweets after certain races going, oh, it's really good. A really good battle for like P9 and 10 and 11. Why is that interesting?
Yeah. We want first place battles.
We want first, second, third battles. Proper racing. That's what we want. But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on all the topics we've discussed today. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.